Maddie, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. Just trying to figure out if I'm happy about this Cyclone basketball performance, or if that delays my ultimate goal of maybe seeing change at the top. So kind of conflicted today.
I'm a little conflicted too, and I guess more or less because, you know, I don't want to see anybody, you know, not win a game. In I mean, this is not what I want. And I mean, that was I was talking to my oldest today, and he called me and was talking about it, and he was the same way. He's like, you know, I don't know. I would have been happy that they got the win, but I don't know what it means, and I don't know. His biggest, and I'll ask you this too. His biggest takeaway was it because Baylor had that long of a layoff, or was it just Iowa State finally maybe is getting, you know, some type of offensive mentality that they can use to score points?
You know, it really did seem to me like there was finally some sort of cohesion, right? We seemed to have a concerted effort on the offensive end. There was clear, for most of the game, there was a clear aim of what we were doing. And that's, you know, I think we've continued to see more of that as the season's progressed. It just hasn't been as consistent as it needs to be. And ultimately, at the end of the game, it disappeared. And that's the reason Iowa State lost. And that has been what we've seen for a good chunk of this last month of the season. And that is competitive play, doing a lot of things right, and then at the end of the game, completely forgetting how to basketball. And I think that's probably what has me the most frustrated with, you know, with playing well for stretches. If there was a prize for almost doing it, or, you know, if we were awarded coaches for almost winning, Steve Prohm would have a lifetime contract extension at this point.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is if you look around, Bill Finley has the team playing really well. The girls' softball team, for the first time ever, ranked in the top 25. You have the football team and the success that they had. I think Kevin Dresser has things turning the right way at Iowa State. He's winning matches he's supposed to win. He's losing the ones that he's going to start winning once he gets, you know, the right mix of guys that he has there and gets them a little bit older in the program. You know, and the one thing you never thought you'd have to worry about was the men's basketball team. And it doesn't fit with the rest of the group right now. You know, your softball is being led by Iowa kids. Iowa State women's basketball team's being led by Iowa kids. A lot of the wrestlers, the football. And, you know, we have Xavier Foster. You know, and I think the toughest thing with that, Maddie, is when you look across the state, and the University of Iowa has a whole bunch of kids from Iowa. I you know, so we're not having homegrown talent, and you know, we're not playing well, and that doesn't bode well for people that love Iowa State basketball. And in a couple of minutes, we'll talk about some of the players that are in the NBA and why we should love Iowa State basketball.
Yeah, no, it that's all of what makes this so hard to unpack, right? You've got a team that's struggling to put away games, yet you have Iowa State basketball with players in the NBA. Not only that, players who are playing well, and then you've got a really good recruit coming in this next year who very clearly wants to be part of the success that we've had with some of those players who have gone pro. We are, and as people like to joke, Iowa State is the reigning Big 12 tournament champion. So the success is not that far gone, and with what you saw last night and what we've continued to see over these last few weeks, that there are reasons, let me put it this way, there are reasons to hope if you want to find them and you're so inclined to feel that way. And that's kind of what makes my feeling so complex on this matter, is I just don't know how I feel. I don't know what's right, and I really feel for Jamie Pollard for having to sort this out, because like you said, a lot of programs at Iowa State are doing well, and men's basketball, one that we always thought we could depend on to do well, is really struggling.
Once again, we're talking to Maddie Nelson. He is wide right, Natty Light, at MNelson_ISU. And the really funny thing is, Okay, so you and I get to talk about this, and we're walking on eggshells because I don't want to say the words that, you know, I hate saying them, but I also have an audience that wants to talk honestly about Iowa State men's basketball. So there are people that have Jamie Pollard's ears that donate a lot of money, and I'm telling you, they're not walking around on eggshells wanting to talk about it, because the one thing maybe the luckiest thing for Steve is if he gets a do-over because of COVID and no fans. I think that helps him, because I think if we were full bore with fans, I don't know if every seat's full, and that's the killer point.
Correct. Yeah, and that's what hurts me too, as I try to evaluate this whole process. I got into this debate with some family members, but I didn't see their point at the time, but they're probably right. You know, basketball long-term has been Iowa State's strength. I would wager that there are a significant number of donors and boosters who, quite frankly, care a lot more about basketball. I know we're probably a little biased because football has been better recently, but long-term, I think basketball is always what this, you know, athletically we've had to turn back on. And when that's bad, it really, really complicates things. And again, I don't know what kind of pressure Jamie Pollard is getting. If I had to wager, knowing who some of our big boosters are, I'm guessing what you said is absolutely correct, Steen. They probably aren't walking on eggshells around Jamie Pollard. We've heard a few rumblings that kind of back that up, and it's really not hard to read between the lines and figure out that that's probably how people feel. So, again, it just makes this complicated. It makes, in my opinion, Jamie's job about impossible to do. And I certainly don't want to be in his shoes.
Well, me neither. Before we talk about the women's team, let's give kudos to the softball team. First time ever in the top 25. Not the biggest place to recruit softball players to. I mean, even though softball in the state of Iowa there's a lot of talent here. A lot of that talent plays all across the country and are recruited all across the country, as we have all kinds of kids going everywhere. What a great job being done. And kudos to the girls for playing so well.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the best start in school history. They're in the top 25. I've actually been kind of tracking this for a while. They were really, really tough already last year. You know, I went to a high school, Woodbury Central, that's been very good at softball. They won a few state titles in the mid-2000s when I was in middle school. And softball's a big deal here in this state. And I guess it's really, really cool to see that softball program reach these heights. Obviously, it doesn't have baseball, so it's kind of cool to have a softball team that is this good. It's kind of a unique thing for Iowa State fans.
Oh, it's fun, and seeing how much the girls are enjoying. Everybody enjoys winning, right? So that's the easy part. But the fact, you know, Sammy Williams being Big 12 Player of the Week. I mean, it's amazing, and they're playing a tough schedule and. Once again, just kudos to them for doing that. Iowa State women with Bill Finley. You know, Bill Finley's had a lot of success there, and he's had some great players come through there. I'm telling you, this is, you know, it gets overlooked a little bit sometimes, and I tried to add these gals in all the time because I talk a lot about Caitlin Clark. She's a freshman. She's almost up to a point where she's going to be averaging 30 points a game. It's a lot to talk about. But when you have Lexi Dernarski and the McGraw girl and the two Jones sisters, Ashley and Aubrey, and you have Morgan Kane, and you have Emily Ryan, and you have all of these girls, and that's not even talking about the seniors. That's just talking about the underclassmen. The way they're playing right now, they're athletic. Now, they have a couple of teams they struggle with in the Big 12, but on any given day when they're shooting well, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, and they're just really fun to watch. I would encourage any Iowa State fan who has not, you know, watched women's basketball. Their games are super accessible now. A lot of them are on ESPN+. They've been kind of going through it lately. They're a young team. They've been, they're going to make the tournament, but they played a lot of close games, some of which they probably would have won without maybe a quarter getting away from them. But, I mean, I think Donarski's been player of the week four times already this year. She is phenomenal. She may be one of the all-time greats by the time she leaves. It's pretty evident when you watch, you know, them play that she's got that potential. Emily Ryan has been great. Kylie Furbach has stepped in to start. And Aubrey Jones is the other player, Ashley Jones' sister. That girl can really, really shoot. And their entire team is so young, and almost everybody they're going to bring back for next year. And they need to do a little bit of work in the post. I think that's where they've been, you know, kind of getting taken advantage of by some teams with some size like Texas. But quite frankly, I've been more invested in them this season than I have been in the men's team. And I think that's good. This program needs our support. Fenley's certainly got, man, you could not have a better setup for the next two or three seasons than he has right now.
Oh, yeah, and it's always been a hidden jewel, too, because there are dedicated women's basketball fans that are there no matter what the weather is, no matter anything, they're there. And that's great to know, you know, just, you know, once again, another, you know, you get tired of giving Jamie kudos. He gets it. He kind of leaves that program alone. He knows what Bill Finley does. Bill Finley helps him. And I mean, just sitting down talking to him, you can see why boosters love him. And, you know, he makes Jamie's job easy.
No, he does. And I think all of the coaches on campus actually pick Bill's brain from time to time. So it's hard to accurately state how much he means to our entire athletic program.
So let's talk a little bit. So last night, Tyrese Haliburton playing the Brooklyn Nets, almost said New Jersey, and my kids would have killed me, played 40 minutes in a loss to the Nets, had 23 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, and 1 turnover. He's a rookie. For the season, he's shooting 55% from the field, 44% from the three, averaging 3.6 assists to 1 turnover, and averaging now he's probably just a little bit over 15 points. So one of the things that when you look at the Iowa State basketball program, if you would have told Coach that Tyrese Haliburton was going to be in the top 15 picks when he first got there, I don't think Coach Perlman would have said, oh, that's a given. I think he thought he was going to get him for all 4 years and develop him, but he developed so quickly. He is fun to watch play basketball. I mean, I watch Sacramento King basketball, and I think they need to get rid of their coach because I think he has no clue. And I love Luke Walton, but I think he's lost. But they're fun to watch, but he's extremely fun to watch, especially with De'Aaron Fox.
Yes. No, I mean, the Kings right now are a great watch, and I agree. I don't think Luke Walton has any idea what he's doing. Watching him play is just a joy, and you can really notice if you plug into NBA Twitter at all, or really just sports Twitter, people freaking love Tyrese Haliburton. They love watching him play because he plays like he's been in the league for 10 years, Steen. It's uncanny watching him play, the way he baits passes to get steals, the way that he dishes the ball. His shot selection, you know, you mentioned his stats, Steen. He's not starting. He's maybe getting, I think he played 40 minutes last night. He normally is playing 25 to 30 minutes.
Yep.
Could you imagine his numbers if he averaged 9 three-point attempts a game instead of the 5 or 6 he's been averaging off the bench? I mean, it's crazy to me. And what it reminds me of is just how crazy this recruiting process is, because I don't think we would be a whole lot better today if Tyrese was on this team. It would certainly help. We would be better, no doubt. Tyrese was supposed to be a four-year player.
Yep.
And I think this goes back to just how little we know about the recruitment process and how wrong people can get it. And I'll throw this back to football. Heartland College Sports re-ranked recruiting classes from, I believe it was like the 2017 class, or maybe it was 2018. I forget the specific year. It was the class that had, I believe it was 2018. It had Brock Purdy, Mike Rose. Iowa State, by far, when you regrade those classes across all Big 12 programs, that class is easily the best in the Big 12 that Campbell reeled in. I believe that class was labeled like 52nd nationally and was probably 9th in the Big 12 at the time. It just shows how little we know. Tyrese Haliburton was the 29th best point guard in his draft class. behind guys like Isaac Likely, who's at Oklahoma State and bounced around a little bit. Tyler Harris was ranked ahead of him, who is currently on Iowa State's roster. He was 21st. Jared Butler ahead of him, who is obviously a very, very good player at Baylor. But the top 10 of this class, there's really nobody outside of Emmanuel Quickley, who is playing for the Knicks, who has turned into just a fantastic NBA player. And Tyrese was 29th, Steve. I mean, it just, again, there's so little that we know about these kids coming out of high school that it's really just darts at a dartboard. And Steve, you got to give him credit. He found Tyrese. He was a top 200 player, but did not have a lot of offers. And I don't think anybody would have expected him to amount to this quickly. It's still shocking to me that he's not considered to be the top rookie of the year candidate at this point.
Oh, I know, and that's the thing. George Niang also this week went 7 for 7 for 3 points. And, you know, that's kind of what the Iowa State program's hoping is. Tyrese has the same kind of love that Monte and George and Matt Thomas can come back and do that. And I believe he will, because that's just the type of kid he is. But I couldn't wait to get to talk to you about Tyree, because I watched a lot of that last night, and I watched some more replays today, and a couple of those passes and his shot. And here's the crazy thing, is he's so tall and so long, and his shot gets off so quick, you're not blocking it. I mean, it's just he has no idea how to play NBA basketball yet. He hasn't been there long enough to know how to actually play it. He's just out there having fun and smiling, and he's trying to bring his team along with him to have that kind of attitude. And I think once they get that attitude, there you go. So,
he reminds me of like Jason Tatum, a guy that's still growing. He added 2 inches this past year, and Tatum is really still figuring out how to play in the NBA.
It's crazy. As always, buddy, thank you. Enjoy talking Iowa State with you and everything else we do. You're the best.
Thanks, man. Take care.
You too. Maddie Nelson, everybody. Great to talk Iowa State sports with him and just anything Iowa State. We haven't even gotten into all the other things he does. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. The next 2 segments, you have me talking sports next.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Wednesday, everybody. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. If you want to check out my podcast page, go to @SteenOnSports at audioboom.com. I do believe we have Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday are up. We're trying to get some of the ones when I first started up, and we'll try to keep those up there every day. If you want to place a bet in Iowa, please register at BetMGM. You can download the app. It's easy to use. They are the king of sports books. If you're going to bet in Iowa, download the app and enjoy. It's very easy, my wife will tell you, as we were placing some bets. We placed a couple last night and one this morning, so we'll see how that went. What else do I have? Oh, so I wanted to talk. I may change my mind here, but I'm going to throw this one out first. Kobe Bryant, there are some people out there that would like to see Kobe Bryant become the new icon, or the logo. The logo of the NBA. I know some people have talked to Jerry West, and Jerry West said he'd easily give that up for Kobe. Speaking of Kobe and, you know, what happened to Kobe and how that changed everybody and you know, made us take a step back and look at what can happen, and all of a sudden your family is hurt and you know, everybody's hurting because you're gone, and that could have happened with Tiger. And luckily for all of us, it didn't. So, you know, we wish him a quick recovery, and you know, just to get back with the family would be great. I have no issues whatsoever. I'm a huge Jerry West fan, but I have no, especially if he says it's okay, I would have no issue at all with Kobe Bryant being the logo. We'll see where that goes. I wanted to give a shout out, and I read this today. You know, we are a UNI Panther. We do, you know, they're our team here, along with the Kansas City Chiefs. But we do a lot of stuff with the Drake Bulldogs. They have a young man. His name is Connor Golson. He's a redshirt junior from Newton. Last year, he in practice, he had a broken fibula and tibia, has screws in his ankle and knee. So now the difference being that this young man is this junior redshirt, 21 or maybe 21, 22 years old. So not as old as Tiger is, but you do see that it can happen, that you can come back. He is he pretty much is a scout team member. He is in charge of, he portrays the other team's best shooter. Coach DeVries said there's times where we can't shut him down and he shoots so well. He is getting ready to graduate with a degree in finance. And he would actually be a redshirt sophomore in that, but he is ready to give that up. But when you have somebody that has something that horrific happen to them, and they come back and he got to shoot a couple of free throws in a game the other night. So kudos to Connor Golson, to the Drake Bulldogs. That's just a happy story. And I'm glad that we, got to talk about that a little bit. I thought this was interesting today too. So Hall of Fame players. So players who are in the Hall of Fame for each team, not counting this year. I have to tell you that I was surprised on some of these. I thought some had more. I thought some had less. But the number one team in the NFL that has the most Hall of Fame players is the Chicago Bears. They have 30. The Green Bay Packers have 26. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who I thought had more, only have 26. The New York Giants have 21, and that has to go back some years because I'm trying to think, you know, besides Lawrence Taylor, Phil Sims, and I'm not, I have to be, nope, I think I'm almost positive Phil Sims is in. The Dallas Cowboys have 20. The Washington football team has 20. The Los Angeles Rams have 19. I was hard pressed to find some of those too, but when it starts going through your head, I mean, Kurt Warner, I think, went in as a Ram. You have Eric Dickerson. You have some defensive players, Jack Youngblood, Fred Dean. So I could see the L.A. Raiders have, or now they are the Las Vegas Raiders, have 18. The Cleveland Browns surprised me. They have 17. Detroit Lions surprised me. They had 17. Then Indianapolis Colts have 16. Here's the one that really surprised me. The San Francisco 49ers only have 16. I thought they would have more than that. I thought they would have been in the 20s also. Minnesota Vikings have 15. The Arizona Phoenix Cardinals have 14. I thought that was quite high. I can guarantee you that I can't. I know they had Conrad Dobler and what was the other tackle they had? So they had two there, but that one seems interesting. And I don't positively know if Kurt Warner went in as a Ram or a Cardinal. I'm assuming it was a Ram, but I don't know. The Chiefs have 13, the Eagles have 11, and the Dolphins, then the Chargers, and the Bills have 10 each. Thought that was kind of interesting where those numbers fell. I did, and I want to give her one more shout-out again. Addie DeJesus for earning Big 12 Gymnast of the Week. I've watched some of her routines. It is crazy, folks, how good she is. I did mention earlier today that 1975, Led Zeppelin released Physical Graffiti. That is such a good album. If you had never heard it, go to Amazon Music, download it, listen to it. I want to kind of try to end the show once again. So George Niang the other night went 7 for 7 from the 3-point line. He fits a niche in Utah. You know, he's not the most athletic cat in the NBA. In being Cyclone fans, we all know that. But he fills a niche where he's a great passer. He's a good rebounder for his size, and he's a really good 3-point shooter. And 7 for 7 the other night. Kudos to him. And you know, we've talked a lot. Matt Thomas is averaging 10-15 minutes a game. Monte Morris probably averages 24-25 minutes a game. You know, there's just so many you know, Cyclones that are doing well. It's just fun. But Tyrese Halliburton last night, you know, I think it's the first game that he's been over 30 minutes so far this year. Played 40 minutes last night. I think Luke Walton's seat is getting warm in Sacramento, and I think one of the reasons I think people want to see Tyrese play more, and he was 23, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 1 turnover. I mean, that's a night, and that is a lot of fun. Minnesota Timberwolves, we talked about their coaching situation. I'll try to get more, delve more into it today. It became another story today just for the way that they, the Coaches Association for the NBA is, I don't think they actually have the ability to file a lawsuit, but they don't like the way their hire went. They didn't come out good last night. They lost to Milwaukee in Milwaukee, 139 to 112. They still have a lot of work to do. Like I said, I want to try to get Andrew on tomorrow, and we'll talk about some all-star snubs, some all-stars who I don't think are all-stars, and kind of wait and see what's going to happen in the second half of the NBA. And Andrew is a pretty decent Laker fan, and to see what the Lakers need to do to not have a free fall. They don't, you know, if they drop down to 3, 4, 5, I think they're okay. But if they drop down to 6 or 7, that makes it a little more tough for them to go back. As a Baltimore Raven fan, I'm not happy. I don't know if I'm happy or sad that Ben Roethlisberger's coming back. I'll leave my happiness to my buddy Jamie Gipple to see if I should be happy he's coming back. Or I did hear today that people in the Pittsburgh organization think Mason Rudolph is their answer. And boy, as a Baltimore Ravens fan, I hope you think he is your answer. That would help me out a lot. I think there's 1,200 to 1,300 players in the NFL. And there are 10 agents that represent around 576 of them. That's 10 agents taking almost half of the available players in the NFL. That seems a lot. I'll do some more checking on that tomorrow to see if that is really where it's at. And the other big story, I got 30 seconds here. They're starting to have some people question if John Gruden is a good fit in Las Vegas. I don't think Las Vegas has a lot of options. If they don't keep him, what they have to pay would definitely hurt. But I'm a huge John Gruden fan. I thought he was much better in the booth just because it lets his personality come out. I think he's a great mind, but you know, football players are changing, and the way he coached, he needs to change with them, and it's going to be a process for him to see if that happens. Once again, I want to thank John Schaefer and Maddie Nelson for coming in today. I want to thank all of you for listening. Like I said, check out my podcast page. It's at Steen on Sports at audioboom.com. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, giving you your sports your way every day. I will see you tomorrow, and have a happy night.
Connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, and happy Wednesday, everybody. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. The website is 1700thechamp.com, and you can download the app. You can listen to the program live. You also can, with your Amazon Echo or Dot, just say, "Alexa, enable the Champ Des Moines," and we come on. That's kind of cool. If you want to check out my podcast page, go to at Steen on Sports at audioboom.com. If you want to place a bet in Iowa, register at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Easy to download the app. Register using talent code STEEN100 to get great first bet deals. Enjoy boosted odds specials, great parlay selections, daily specials. If you're going to bet in Iowa, download the BetMGM app and enjoy. Oh, man. So, Maddie Nelson came in. We talked a little ISU. you can see the or hear the frustration. Can't see it. You can hear the frustration sometimes. Yeah, that was a close win last night. We've had some close games that we probably, you know, in the past we would have pulled out. I don't think everybody's on the same page. So we'll see what happens. John Schaefer came in and talked some local sports with me. The WOI-5 did a great job covering the wrestling tournament. They'll probably do the same with girls basketball starting Monday, March 1st. And first game right out of the bat, Waukee Dowling. I called that game on the radio when they played earlier in the year. So two really good teams, up and down basketball. You'll enjoy Southeast Polk Ankeny Centennial. And then Johnston plays Cedar Falls, so that's your local teams. Not a lot of local teams in the 3A. And in what is 2A? You have Dallas Center Grimes and Bondurant Farrar is the 4A tournament pairing. So 5A, 4A, 3A and Class 2A and Class A are playing their games. I do believe they're playing tonight to see who goes to the well. So, and boys basketball is getting to a point where they are getting ready for sub-state, what would you call them, sub-state semifinals. And area teams and sub-state one, Southeast Polk is playing Sioux City East. Johnston is playing Linmar Marion in Substate 3. Des Moines East and Dowling Catholic are playing in Substate 7. Urbandale and Valley are playing in Substate 7. Substate 2 is Ames and Des Moines Hoover and Ankeny Centennial Indianola. Substate 4 is Cedar Falls, Iowa City High, Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Waterloo West, Bentendorf and Pleasant Valley, Davenport North, and Iowa City Liberty in 6. And in Substate 8 is Ankeny versus Norwalk and Marshalltown versus Waukee. That's going to be a tough one there, too. So we have that coming up. We'll talk lots about that, just like we did with talking wrestling and it's just a lot of fun. Cody will be down there. Schaefer will be down there. So we'll have plenty of coverage to talk about. Just wanted to get... So this week, I am here on Thursday and Friday. And then I'm away on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I will be back on live on Thursday. Quick trip. It is... I'm going to make that mistake again. And I can't do that with my wife and my mother-in-law listening. Happy Wednesday, Nana. We were married in 89. So that is, we have been married for 32 years and we have been dating for 39. You think I could just remember those, just pop those off, but I am getting old and she understands that I'm getting old. So my lovely wife, wanted to do something and I do believe that she surprised me and we are flying to Vegas for a couple of days, staying at the Flamingo, which she's always wanted to do. And, that is my story. And I told her after, we had a long discussion that anything she wants to do, by golly, we're going to do it. So that's just the way it is. And, you know, after things, you know, that always brings me back to Tiger Woods and after everything that's happened to him. Folks, we do need to realize that you know, you're every day is not a given. So don't put things off, especially not with family. And, you know, one of the other things that I was John and I kind of talked out off air about a little bit was, you know, and be happy. Being upset, mad, angry doesn't get anywhere anymore. Just people like to do that just to get your goat. Don't let them. So there's my public service announcement for the day. And I've been horrible at that sometimes in my life, being an only child, that sometimes I take things way too personally. And I'm learning that being on the radio and having opinions and people, even though, as always been said, and if I could remember how to... that's not the right one. I have to remember how to do that. I can tell you. But I do love my opinion, and everybody knows that. So it is a, oh, it's a sad day that what happened with Tiger. And just, you know, I from the time that I talked about in the first hour to now, just the amount of people that have come on to say, you know, come out in talking about what happened and how he affected their lives and all of that. It just shows just what type of you know, effect that he's had on people. So keep him in your prayers, and hopefully he can get through that. Let's go through a few of these things here. A lot of stuff went on today. We talked a little bit. Baylor came back last night. They'd been on a pretty big break because of COVID, and it showed last night. And kudos for the Iowa State team to, you know, just get out there and play hard. You know, the way we're at right now, that's what you have to do. One of the fun things about Tyrese Halliburton last night after the game was the love that he was getting from James Harden and Kyrie Irving. That was great. I think they see the talent that this young man has and how good he could be. One of the funniest things I heard today, Coach Dan Campbell, and I think he's having fun with, you know, some sports reporters or press people, you know, thinking that he's kind of a, he said, you know, hey, do you really want your coach to, you know, he kind of says that he's a meathead and with limited brain capacity. And when I read that, I'm like, you know, gosh, do I really want my coach to say that out loud? But I think he's poking fun at people. You know what? And the Philadelphia Eagles coach, I think Nick Sirianni, had a really bad press conference too. Trust me, I've had really bad radio shows, if not majority sometimes, because I'm not a pro at this. I just, like I said, I like talking sports. I like giving my opinions and I like getting feedback. You don't have to be great in front of a microphone to be great at what you do. And the Detroit Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, are hoping deep, deep down inside that is something that they can count on. John Harbaugh was out at a seafood restaurant in Baltimore. I think it was a charity event. It didn't say in there what charity event, but everybody that was in the restaurant, he bought their dinner. I think John Harbaugh is one of the true men, philanthropists in the NFL. Now, sometimes I don't agree with his coaching being a Baltimore Ravens fan, but I don't want him to go anywhere. I just want him to adapt a little better sometimes. The Patriots are in a big need of a quarterback, and hopefully they're trying to make their decision before draft time. They've never been a team that have taken some of their picks that they've kind of hoarded and tried to trade up to get something. So we'll see what happens. Last time they did that, they went up and got Jimmy Garoppolo, who I do believe, truthfully, if they could get him away from San Francisco, they would take him back. Big news, I guess, for me, since they're in my conference, for my one of my best friends, Jamie Gipple, Ben Roethlisberger's coming back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if Jamie's happy about that. He might have to text me and tell me if that's okay to say that he's happy about that. I don't know. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have said, yes, he's going to be our quarterback. No, he's not going to get paid $27 million, but we'll see where that leads. I'm going to hopefully, and I tried to call earlier today, I have some questions on some of the All-Star picks and if somebody got cheated, and try to talk with Andrew I'm hoping he comes on tomorrow. The Brooklyn Nets, I said earlier today, are getting ready to sign Tyler Cook, who was playing for the Iowa Wolves, played for the Iowa Hawkeyes. A really good small forward. He's 6'8", and that's kind of his issue with the NBA right now and why he's in the G League. He's just at that. He's a little too big to play small forward and not quite big enough to play power forward. So, but nobody hustles like he hustles. So we'll see what happens with him. I saw a stat today and I about fell over. So quarterback rating since the start of 2019. If I told you who are the top three with quarterback ranking since the start of 2019? You guys would pick two of them. Boom, boom. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Yay, you'd have won. But they're 2 and 3. Number one, Ryan Tannehill, which surprised me. And maybe we give the Tennessee Titans too much credit if he's playing that well about some of the times that they've missed out on making big runs in the playoff, especially the lead they had against the Kansas City Chiefs last year, not this year, but last year. The Lakers are looking for help with Anthony Davis being out, and I really think they wanted to get Boogie Cousins. He's going to ask for too much money to fit into the situation that the Lakers need. So I think they're looking at Hassan Whiteside. He's coming over from the Sacramento Kings, once again, who I do not think are getting the most out of the talent that they have on that team. If you ever were a fan of a sports team, and all of us are, the one thing that you really like is having a good owner, and Peter Seidler is the San Diego Padres owner, and he said, "My job is for my team to win and give the fans the biggest bang for their buck that they can get to come watch them play." And you know, they're in size, San Diego is a pretty big city. In the way Major League Baseball considers San Diego, they're a small market team. That small market team has an $800 million infield, so he is definitely, if spending money, and they made the playoffs last year. Now, granted, once again, a shortened season, so we'll see how they do this year, but we'll see how that goes. The NCAA is getting ready to allow 25% capacity for winter championship sports and Division I fall championships played in the spring, which is what you and I, Drake, and those particular teams are doing. It does matter in what county you're in or what, you know, where you're at, but that is good to know. A really funny stat today, and these are the eight NFL players that have no trade clauses in their contracts. Laurent Devrini, who I'm not sure who that is, and I apologize for that. But Drew Brees has one. Jimmy Garoppolo has one. Jimmy Graham with the Bears has one. DeAndre Hopkins has one. Patrick Mahomes has one. Deshaun Watson has one. And Russell Wilson has one. But Russell Wilson has kind of asked to be traded. Deshaun Watson's kind of asked to be traded. DeAndre Hopkins got traded away and had that put in his clause. Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of falling out, so he would have to okay that. Drew Brees, everybody thought was retiring. Now I'm not so sure what he's going to do, so we'll see where that goes. Let's see. Glenn Taylor. So I'll talk about that in the next segment. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks that are trying to find a place to go. Cam Newton says that there is no way that he's not one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. I probably agree to him. I still don't know where a good fit is. I think Marcus Mariota is getting close to being released. They were trying to trade him. I think he's going to be released because no one wants to. They want to be able to negotiate a little bit on the contract. I see that him being a really good fit for the New England Patriots. Jameis Winston is still out there, but with Drew Brees, if Drew Brees comes back, I could really see them trying to maybe get some money for him. Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick is available. The Carolina Panthers are doing everything in their power to get enough salary cap and enough picks and enough players to get the Houston Texans to try to deal. And if they did, that leaves Teddy Bridgewater open, which would be another, I think, a good fit with the New England Patriots. Dez Bryant wants to play a couple more years. He just does not want to do it with my Baltimore Ravens. And if I was a wide receiver with the way that we run our offense, I don't know if I would either. And the Raiders have released Tyrell Williams. He is 2 years into his four-year $44.3 million contract. He missed last year with a torn labrum. that got him some salary cap space, and he is now free to sign with any team. He will get picked up. You have been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I want to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Timberwolves and their coaching change, and we'll talk a little bit more about Tiger Woods after the break.